Here in chapter 8, we're studying and reading more of wisdom, this virtue of wisdom, but as we read here, it's more than a virtue. Wisdom is something that we best and rightly associate with God. God is wise. God does not only have all knowledge and all understanding, but he is all wise and helpful, I think it is, to remember God and his wisdom, to think of what that means as well, that God is wise. Not only that God produces the best results, but he also produces the best results by the best means as well, the best ways. Wisdom is not only about producing what is best. It would not be wise to do what is best, however it is done, to make the end result everything, and well, how that is achieved is by and by. Something that we are maybe familiar with or read of, you read it from time to time in the newspapers perhaps of industries or businesses where they are very successful. They achieve the best results that they can achieve, but then you read the reports of staff being mistreated and abused and people taken advantage of and so on. So the best results, but not the best means, not a wise way. But God's ways, he is wise. He is perfectly wise. And helpful for us then to consider the world that we live in, and our place in it, and God's purposes. For God's purposes are to produce the absolute best results. That's what we read of at the end of Revelation in chapter 21 and 22. The magnificent glory of heaven. And while we strive with God in this world, Jacob renamed Israel by God. God gave Israel his name, Israel, which means striving with God. In this striving with God, there is a way that God is working. He is working through our circumstances and through our times and situations and through our faith in Christ and in the time that we are living in the best ways, fit for his purpose, fit for his glory. And helpful, I think, then for us to remember that often, if time to time certainly, if not often, God is wise. He's working out his plans in the best ways. We only see a part at any one time, and that is one of the difficulties that we have. But God sees the whole, and he is working out his great purposes, and he is working them out in the ways that are best. Wisdom is associated with God, associated with Christ, Christ the wisdom of God. And here we read more of wisdom in these verses 11, 12 to verse 21. In verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. And then in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Then in verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom, I have insight, I have strength. So in verse 12, we have wisdom being described to us in a positively, something that we can get a handle on what wisdom is by wisdom saying, here are my friends, here is who you will find me with. You will find me with prudence, you will find me with knowledge and discretion. Where you find these characteristics, you will also find usually wisdom there. You find it in people, those that are prudent and who are growing in knowledge and who live in this world with discretion, discerning what is right and wrong, making choices every day with the gospel and the glory of God in view. Here, wisdom dwells with these friends. So positively there in verse 12 and again also in verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. Here are characteristics that are incorporated into wisdom. We see that wisdom is not something that comes alone. There are many other virtues that sprout out of wisdom, counsel, insight, and strength. Now, sandwiched in between these two accounts that tell us in a positive way what wisdom is and what it involves, we also have in verse 13 a way of describing for us what wisdom isn't and what it doesn't associate with and what it is far from. And so it speaks of pride and arrogance, the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. So as we read these verses, and simply just reading these three verses, if we think, well, what is wisdom and what should I be looking for, or how may it be sought? Here's a helpful description then of what it is and what it isn't. It's helpful to have both sides of this for us to grasp what something is. It's helpful not only to know what it is, but also what it isn't. It used to be a long time ago in theology that one of the focuses in describing God, and it's still the case today, but there is a time, especially in the medieval ages, when there is a focus on saying what God is not, because by saying what God is not, we can maybe better come to an understanding of what he is. It may be easier to think of, you know, he is not evil, he is not limited, he is not a creature. Then we think of what he is, having said what he isn't. He is infinite, eternal. He is uncreated, no beginning, no end. So both sides help us to get a handle on what wisdom is. And it helps us here to be clear what it is and what it isn't, that we don't mistake one for the other, that here in verse 13, pride and arrogance has nothing to do with wisdom. Isn't it the case that there may be a deception about that in the mind, that pride and arrogance is a wise way? But no, it's not. Wisdom has nothing to do with pride and arrogance. These are enemies. And wisdom makes pride and arrogance and perverted speech its enemy. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I hate. Wisdom is valuable, and is valued as described here by kings and princes needed by kings and princes. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles all who govern justly. A verse that is often mentioned in prayer here at King's View. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And so wisdom ought to and must be valued most highly. And in then what the Book of Proverbs is saying to us, it acts as a barometer, doesn't it, for the time that we are in, for the state of the nation, or the state of the nations, even, the state of the nations. When wisdom is necessary for kings to reign, and for rulers to decree what is just, for princes to rule and nobles and all who govern justly. So if wisdom is not there, kings fall. Decrees are made not by what is just, but by what is unjust. And there is a matter of governance, and without wisdom, without this wisdom, not just without a general wisdom, but without the wisdom of God. Without the wisdom of God, how can there be a governing justly, as described in verse 16? But where there are rulers and kings and queens who rule wisely and therefore consciously in dependence upon God and dependence upon Christ Jesus, this is what the outcome is. David was famous for it. Solomon famous for it as well, for a time. The way of wisdom, and it comes not from within, but by asking God for it, as Solomon famously did when God asked him whatever he wanted, and he said that he wished wisdom to rule the people. One of the main reasons for having governments and governors and rulers and kings and queens, it goes way back, but it goes way back to the roots of the scripture and our understanding of one another. Why do we have rulers? Why are there kings and queens? Not because they were always there, they weren't always there, but because there's the understanding that where there is a righteous and just ruling, people are better for having a ruler rather than making all the decisions themselves, for everybody to be left to their own to make decisions about all things. Better to have those who are in place in governance. Where that governance is just and good. And so one of the outcomes then that we read of the wisdom at work is described for us in verses 17 and onwards down to 21. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. And then we'll spend a little time in this verse and then go on to say more about the outcomes of wisdom in verses 18 and onwards. But here in verse 17, notice here what wisdom says. I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently find me, it tells then of a two-way relationship. Again, the way that wisdom is described here is more than a virtue, more than just something that somebody has. But there's a relationship that's described here, and wisdom is described as a person and is saying that I give myself to those who seek me. I give myself to those who seek me. And the nature of this relationship is that as those who come to seek wisdom from God receive wisdom and receive more as well. Wisdom gives more than what was originally sought. More is received than expected. This is also true, isn't it, of Christianity. This is also true of Christianity. That when we become Christian, what are we expecting from it? Well, there may be some things that we expect. Maybe we don't know what to expect before becoming a Christian, but certainly having become a Christian, more is received than what was expected. I mean, when we go into the scriptures and it tells us of these spiritual blessings that God gives to us, himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, the church, the riches of his word, the truths that the word tells us about of God, that while it might have been a personal experience that God became alive, as it were, when one becomes a Christian, then you read the scripture and it says that God has loved you from before the foundation of the earth was laid. And it opens up these new horizons and wonderful, wonderful truths for us of the goodness of God. And then as we make our way through life and we experience this matter of God being with us and helping us and leading us through the various times and circumstances of our lives, more than what was anticipated, more than what was expected. And wisdom is like this also. I love those who love me. I love those who love me. And so we read then that along with wisdom, wisdom is not only something that has an effect or a gift to the mind, but in verses 18 and onwards, riches and honour are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Riches and honour are with me, says wisdom, enduring wealth and righteousness. Think of these words then here in Proverbs, and there's a restating of these words, isn't there, in the Lord Jesus' ministry when he speaks of storing up your treasure in heaven. Storing up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. He's speaking of a kingdom and a place where all that goes wrong in this world and all that is broken in this world is reversed, where nothing breaks and where nothing is destroyed and where nothing needs protected. Echoed also in the words of the Lord Jesus in this instance referring to the things that are needed in life, food, shelter, clothing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There are enduring riches and honours with wisdom, with Christ, enduring wealth and righteousness. The scriptures reveal that to us, the righteousness of Christ that never fades. And once you're credited with the righteousness of Christ as you are in becoming a Christian, that never fades and never stops. Isn't that marvellous? It carries on. However, whatever our feelings are, or even our knowledge of ourselves, our unrighteousness, the righteousness that is credited to us in Christ continues. Enduring wealth. These ways are accompanied also in verses 20 and 21. We won't leave them entirely just now, but we want to look at what it says in 20 and 21 as well. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. It strikes me that when wisdom is describing what it gives and what it's accompanied with, these are the things that are sought for in the world. These are the things that are sought for in the world. Riches, honour, enduring wealth, especially righteousness, perhaps, but especially in a time or world where we're a sense of the materialism that there is and the focus on materialism that there is, riches, honour, enduring wealth. It speaks of gold, silver, and then the filling of treasuries there in verse 21. Worth thinking just for a moment about the world at this point, which sets its focus upon these things and seeks to gain these things apart from God. But the reality is that nothing enduring can be found apart from God. Nothing enduring can be found apart from God. That's to believe or to follow a way that says that you can have such success and endure. Well, ultimately, it cannot endure. It can only last for a time. Everything that is gained in this world will be lost. Eventually, we leave the world as we came into it with nothing. Therefore, to live apart from God, and this is the solemn reality, to live apart from God is to be severed from the source of life and the one who gives and is pleased to give that which endures, as he does in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a way, he was pleased to show what he is happy to give with wisdom in the story of Solomon, where he also gave him wealth and long life for asking of wisdom and not for these things. If we were to come to a conclusion, we want to make maybe before that be thinking here of Jesus Christ and thinking of in 1 Corinthians 1 verses 22 and 25, and helpful I think to look over there if you would with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 22 to 25. For For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see here that wisdom is Christ, and wisdom is God. So when we're thinking of wisdom, we must think of God and we must think of Christ. And we notice here that in speaking of Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God, it speaks simultaneously of Christ being crucified. And there in that moment, Christ, who lived with very little, lived with nothing there on the cross, other than the crown of thorns in his head and the way he was being treated at that time. And herein is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in Christ, the wisdom of the cross, which is a death to the world and life in Christ. And it's that Paul describes then in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, when he speaks of how he had learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. It may be the course of life that the providence of God may bring much, or it may bring little, and it may bring both, one at one time and another at another time. Whether one or the other, or whether it's somewhere in between, Paul says he found the secret of living, the secret of wise living, the secret of wise living that I can do through him who strengthens me. So the primary matter there for Paul was his relationship to God, and this is what enables him to face a variety of circumstances. And if we can draw a conclusion then from the verses that we have read this evening, the conclusion is that what is needed, that here is the aim that is set before us here. What is needed is not wealth or fame or long life or influence or any of these things, but wisdom. For where these other things come, whether it's in this world or the next, it is wisdom that is associated ultimately with Christ, and Christ who gives us the life and the help and the need in whatever circumstances we face. And if any of these other gifts are provided at the same time or with wisdom, as Solomon asked for wisdom, but you not only got wisdom, he was given wealth and he was given long life as well, then if one finds themselves also having in the providence of God obtaining these other gifts, what then? And what the scripture is teaching us then is to seek after wisdom still, not to give oneself over to these other gifts. Psalm 62, verse 10, for an example, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. So then, in verses here, we are reading of that which is of more value than silver or jewels. And it's God who is more valuable, and Christ who is more valuable. He is of greater value. And the greater value for us comes in this, that Christ offers himself to us. And he offers himself to you and to me. And then to receive him is to receive God. And along with God, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. What he offers here is more valuable than money, and money cannot buy this. It cannot afford this, yet God is beckoning us to come to receive from him. If any lack wisdom, as James says, then come to ask God for it, and he will provide abundantly. Well, let us have a time of prayer.